Hello and welcome to Phoenix Cinema Podcast. This is a podcast where we discuss what's showing at the historic Phoenix Cinema in North London. I'm Chris Austin, and joining me is my co-host, Luke Parker.
Great to be back.
Great to have you back, sir. And this week, we're discussing the new film by German filmmaker Nora Finkscheid, The Outrun. Luke, what do you think of The Outrun, man? You text me beforehand.
Yeah, I know.
With some very positive thoughts. So
let's
start with that.
So this director, I've honestly never even heard of her. And I was like looking through what she's done. She hasn't done too much, but nothing I'm familiar with at all.
Did she do Bird Box? That Sandra Bullock?
No, she did another Sandra Bullock film. It's called The Unforgivable.
Oh, that's the one I'd heard. Yeah. Right, okay.
But literally, yeah, so completely brand new director. Obviously, I know, and I love Saoirse Ronan. I think she's a fantastic actress.
Agreed.
And this film, I think, might be the best performance I've seen from her.
Mm.
She's incredible in this film.
I agree with that.
To put it bluntly, this is probably my top film of the year so far.
Wow. I didn't expect that.
I think it's so raw, so beautiful, so emotional. Like, I found myself tearing up multiple times throughout this film. And it's such a difficult topic to address. Mm. And I think it does it really, really delicately. And I don't know, I feel like maybe it resonated a bit with me, the fact that, you know, she's just moved from the hustle and bustle of London back home to like her childhood home back in the middle of nowhere. And even though it's like nowhere near to the same extent, is this like that? Last year I've gone through something quite similar to that, and like I feel like I've gone through a lot of the similar feelings she was feeling in terms of like missing like the energy of the city. So in that respect, I did resonate with the film quite a bit, I think, even though if it's not like to the extreme extent that's shown in.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, they're my initial thoughts. I just think it's so emotional, and Saoirse Ronan is such a powerhouse in this film.
Oh God,
it's hard not to provoke some sort of emotional reaction, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, I don't think it's a perfect film. There is probably too many shots of her walking on the beach with the dance music from her headphones. Sure. I would totally agree with that. I know it's a bit of a cliche thing to say, but at points it didn't even feel like I was watching a movie, just of how real the characters felt. And there's even some scenes in the film where I don't even think they were actors. They were just people. They probably just pulled off from the island, or like when they're with the RSPB. I think they were just people there.
It kind of feels like that.
Yeah.
It feels so lived in and authentic. And even maybe some of like the AA scenes as well.
Exactly, yeah.
It definitely feels that way. Yeah, I do wonder about that.
And the film's full of these flashbacks to her time in London. And watching the grip that alcohol slowly starts to take on her and the impact that it has on her life, I think it's quite heartbreaking.
Mm.
But like I said, it does it in a really delicate and sensitive way, a really impactful way.
Mm.
And just in general, the film looks beautiful. Obviously, it's got the benefit of being in the Orkney Islands, which is probably like one of the most beautiful places on earth. But yeah. I really, really enjoyed this film.
Oh, that's great, man. I'm so pleased, actually. I'm so pleased that you say that, yeah. Because, well, I mean, it didn't impact me in the same way. And I went to the Phoenix cinema to see this. So I had the, you know, luxury of watching this on the big screen, you know, with an audience. But, you know, but I do agree with basically everything that you're saying. And I feel like, and it feels to me, and I know it's based on a book, right?
Oh, there is it? Okay.
I believe it is. Yeah, I believe it's so yes, there we go. So it's a 2016 memoir by Amy Liptrot. And I knew it was based on a book, but I didn't know if it was a true story. And there you go. It's a memoir.
Is a book the same name?
I believe it is. Yes, it is. It is. And that makes so much sense because this doesn't feel like a work of narrative fiction. This feels like something that has been translated from real experience and memory.
It's so incredibly personal, you know.
Yes.
It makes perfect sense now that you say it's from a memoir.
Yeah, totally. And actually, to that end, I think the filmmaking is so good, specifically the editing. Really stood out to me. It's really good. It's got the editing has almost its own sense of how memory feels and how it works when we're, you know, when it flashes back and forth between past and present. Really personal, really tough to watch at times.
Yeah.
And just to what you were saying, I think Saoirse Ronan, we all know she's incredibly talented, but what a performance. I mean, she is just she's excellent in this film. She's raw and she's vulnerable. And I mean, when is she not great? And it's amazing. I mean, she's having a moment right now between this McQueen's Blitz and the movie Foe. Did you watch that movie Foe?
No.
With not Pedro Pascal. What's his name? Gladiator 2 guy. Paul Mescal, is it?
Yeah. I heard mixed things about that one.
Foe.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah, I never saw it, unfortunately. But that was only released last year. I mean, she's everywhere right now. Yeah.
you know what? She deserves to be.
She totally deserves to be. Totally. And again, it's that thing, and this has happened actually often on this podcast where we keep discussing the same actors even within the same year, and that's how you know they're popping. And the actor Papa Esiedu, who plays her boyfriend / ex-boyfriend in the film, this guy is also everywhere. I remember seeing him doing a Pinter play when I worked at the Harold Pinter Theatre years ago. That was the first time I saw him, was on stage. And since then, he's shown up everywhere. He's in, I don't know, he's in Doctor Who. He's in a Black Mirror episode. You know, he just keeps showing up all over the place. And it's like, God, who's his agent? Honestly, it's awesome. And he's great.
Yeah, he had a difficult role in this film.
Really difficult.
Yeah.
Really difficult. And actually, there's like you said, it's a really hard role to play, being someone who has left her, you know, when she's probably at her lowest point. And yet the movie does an incredible job of really making you sympathize and understand both of these people. I don't know. Have you ever had any experience with someone suffering from, you know, alcohol abuse or an alcoholic or anything like that?
Not to this extent.
Okay.
Not to this extent. Yeah. I don't. Have you?
I have not, thankfully. But I know of people who have, or I've sort of come across it in my life, but from like a third party. You know, I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen someone in the grips of it. But it's never impacted me in it personally or like directly in any way.
So it's quite hard, I guess, for us to then be like, how well does this film portray the process of sobriety?
One thing
I will say though is that when the film first finished, I was a little bit disappointed with the ending, in that I thought it kind of ended on too clean a note, in that it was almost like all her problems were now solved, and that she was like, she'd reached this milestone in her, like, in her sobriety journey, and then it was kind of like, okay, she's happy now and it's going to be easy from here. But then I was thinking about it, because I didn't like that. I thought that was what I'm assuming that to be unrealistic. But the more I thought about it, I don't think that's actually what it's showing at all. I think it's more her accepting the journey as opposed to her being like, I'm cured.
I'm better
if that's
now.
The right word. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good perspective, Luke, actually. Yeah, that didn't enter into my head. And I guess that makes sense because it does link to that conversation that she has with that man in that she meets who works in the store in Scotland, where he says it never gets easier, but it's literally just a day at a time.
Yeah.
It's a constant journey. Yeah, I mean, I guess we could get into it, but the ending I wasn't keen on either.
Okay.
But I guess the reason is because I do feel like the film is overlong. It doesn't have to be, personally. I think that it's got this thing about it where it feels to me like it doesn't really go anywhere for a very long time, and it kind of stays in one place. It kind of runs in the same spot, you know, where you see her in Scotland trying to go through this rehabilitation. And then we have flashbacks to when she was in the throes of alcohol in London. And then that back and forth, after a while, I was like, I get it, you know? And listen,
I don't know if I agree with that.
Really?
I think you're right. It's not, you know, this film's very much like an intimate character study. It's not a very narrative driven film, but I think there's enough in these two parts of her life running parallel to each other, like when she's in the Orkney Islands and when she's in London. They're running, you see these two parts of her life running parallel to each other. Okay, that's essentially the premise of the film. I definitely think there's enough going on to keep you interested and to keep you so invested in her story.
Yeah, it's a funny balance because I'll be honest, there's almost like a part of me that almost wishes the flashbacks weren't even there.
Okay.
And all I'm doing is gleaning with, you know, subtly little bits and pieces of what has happened to this woman and why is she here?
Yeah.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with the flashbacks. And again, it's so well made and the performances are great. But after a while, I was just like anticipating we're going to get another flashback to her being fucked up again and making a real embarrassing, you know, fool of herself or ruining relationships or whatever.
But that's not all we see, though, is it? Because we see the flashbacks to her first attempt at AA. You know, we see her first attempts at sobriety. We see her relapse in London. We see that running parallel with her relapse in the Orkney Islands.
Yes.
To me, it wasn't just about her flashbacks of her being pissed up all the time. I think there was a genuine sad story there on both sides.
That's interesting. Yeah. Maybe it's just that I didn't want to see it. And that might be it too. It might be that those flashbacks was in particular just so uncomfortable to watch.
They were, yeah.
And there's almost like a tease with the flashbacks, the way they structure it, where you see her, where is she going? Is she like entering some sort of job center or something? And her eye, you can tell she's been beaten up.
That was her trying to get into rehab for the first time.
And then the flashbacks sort of take a journey to get to that point, and you realize, okay, how she came to be beaten up.
Yeah.
And it all feels so inevitable. And I'm watching it and I'm like, I really don't want to see this. And maybe that's a compliment. Yeah, maybe that's a compliment on the filmmaker's part. Because I don't want to see any more of this. Because it's so awful and it's so tragic. And anyway, either way, it did feel repetitive. Whereas every time we cut to Scotland, I leaned forward a bit more.
Yeah.
I think, you know?
Yeah, I'm saying.
Think the location work is great. It's so specific. I feel like you ask me, have I been to the Orkney Islands? I'll tell you yes. And it's great. By the time this episode comes out, I will be in Scotland. So it's perfect timing. It's perfect timing.
I think something that really helps with kind of the Scottish side of the film is that we also deal with her family dynamics and the issues she has within her family. And again, they're dealt with very well. So that, I totally get where you're coming from with that.
And what I loved specifically about the parents is it's not as easy as saying, oh, I'm just going to go back home for a while. My parents will look after me.
Yeah.
It has such an honest and realistic look at life that sometimes we get to a point where sometimes we have to parent our parents.
Mm-hmm.
And that can become a whole other, you know, load and stress and pressure onto itself. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the fact that, you know, she has such tensions with her parents, the fact that they are also trying to work things through in their own way. They have their own struggles. They have their own, they're not always there for her when she needs, that's just a part of life. I thought that was so, so good. So good.
There's one scene in the film, and this is going back to what I said about how real and raw the film feels, is when she's in her house that she goes into on her own to sort of go into isolation a bit.
Mm.
And she gets that phone call from her dad who's just been taken away. And she likes putting it on speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad is sort of berating her, saying it's all her fault that he's where he is and that she's a disappointment. And I felt uncomfortable watching it. I felt like I should not be watching this. This felt real. You know, I felt like I was invading on their space almost.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, yeah, that's the best compliment we can give this film, because I feel that we feel that multiple times.
Yeah.
it's so hard and yet so, it doesn't feel like a work of fiction. It feels just like a moment that has happened that has just been well translated.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah, it doesn't paint London in a great light, though, either, does it? It's like Sin City.
I get what you're saying, but it's just, I guess, that side of London she was involved in. You know,
and it's, yeah, like you said at the start of this call, the energy of it. I mean, I think it's even like the colour palette. It's shot differently. It feels quicker. It's so strobey and it's so loud and it's so, you know, and it's, yeah, that's for sure. And
literally not possible to get further away than the Orkney Islands
where she went. I mean, which makes the contrast between the flashbacks and the present stand out so much. I'm so pleased, dude, that you enjoyed this as much as you did. Do you feel like you would, probably not, but do you think you'd ever find yourself picking up the book?
Definitely. Mm. In fact, I'm very, very, I didn't realize this book until you just mentioned it. I'm probably going to go order it on Amazon now.
Oh my God. So you would, okay. So that, again, that says, so you'd put yourself through that because something tells me the book's going to be even more.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's probably moments that they've even not touched on or cut out.
Yeah. That's almost definitely true. Yeah.
And yeah. And again, like we've already said, I mean, we don't have personal experience with addiction in this sense, but I can only imagine how triggering this movie must be. And I say triggering, maybe there's an aspect of it that is incredibly healing because of how honest it is for so many people.
I'm very curious to see kind of how people who have maybe gone through similar issues, how they would like react to this film.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Well, Cool. Well, shall we? So you highly recommend this movie, and that's
very highly recommend the film. Yeah,
that's great. That's
very
great.
Very pleasantly surprised.
Amazing. Well, I guess we can move on to pairings then. What have you gone with for a pairing for this film?
So I usually struggle with this part, but this was really easy for me. This was really, really easy for me this week. And I know I said this is one of my favorites of the year so far, but I'm actually pairing this with my favorite film of 2022, which was After Sun.
Oh, what a film.
Yeah. I feel like they both deal with very delicate issues and like with things like mental illness and mental health, but each in a unique but intimate way. Mm. And they're both very emotional films. I think they do give off a lot of the same energy. But yeah, for me, that was easy because when I was watching this film, I was thinking this is giving a similar vibe to After Sun.
That's so interesting. That's so interesting. Yeah. Yeah. That never even crossed my mind. And yet that movie, even the way it plays with memory, right. And the way it sort of flits back and forth is so, that's so similar. Dude, After Sun, that ending. Just knocked me out.
I don't think there was a dry eye in the cinema when I went to see that film.
What a debut. Honestly, such an incredible film. So powerful. Oh, that's an excellent pick, man.
Thanks.
Well, mine isn't as powerful. but honestly, actually, it took me a while thinking about it. I struggled. Again, like you said, like, as I usually do, I kind of... But I've gone with Young Adult. Did you ever see that movie? 2011?
Not even heard of it.
Oh, okay. It's it's directed by Jason Reitman. You know, of many things. Of Juno, for instance.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I think it's also written by Diablo Cody, who also wrote Juno. So it's like a Juno collaboration. And it's Charlize Theron in the lead role. And it's Patton Oswalt. And I've only seen it once. But from what I remember of it, Charlize Theron basically plays a mess of a human being. Okay. Very much like Saoirse Ronan in this film, who she's like a ghost writer of a bunch of novels. And I think she's an alcoholic as well. And she's on Facebook or something one day and she sees a photo of her like childhood sweetheart. He's about to get married. Oh, he's engaged. So she decides to move back home to her hometown and try and end the marriage basically because she feels now that she deserves him. So it's really bad intentions.
Okay.
And as you can imagine, it's like, it's such cringe comedy.
Oh, it's a comedy. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess. So, it's probably like what would they call it today? A dramedy. but I honestly, I'm hard pressed to remember much about the movie, but just that in terms of the similarities between these two characters alone. Yeah.
So more of the moving back home.
Yes. Element. Moving back home, being a mess, actually finding herself in these social situations that are so incredibly awkward and tense and embarrassing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, maybe this would make for a really cool triple feature. Yeah. Brace yourself, I guess.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I never even heard of that one.
Well, if you do check it out, let me know what you think. Yeah, I'd love to know what you think about that. Jason Reitman is such an interesting director. I loved his father's movies, Ivan Reitman. I mean, he was just a legend. I think
what did he do?
Ghostbusters, Kindergarten Cop. I mean, look at his film. I think he did Evolution as well. Do you remember Evolution?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
What a movie!
What a film. That, I think, is my favorite film of 2001, 2002. Yeah, I loved that movie. Oh, my God. I can't say much about Jason Reitman's newest films because it's like all the Ghostbusters reboots slash sequels, and I can't even bring myself.
Yeah, not interested.
All right. Well, cool. Listen, that was excellent. Luke, I'm glad that this movie had, you know, such an impact on you, that you enjoyed it so much. That's great. I'm glad at least, you know, it affected one of us in such a huge way. And listen, that just speaks to how great Zaylin and the programmers are at Phoenix Cinema. It's just, it's never uninteresting.
Yeah. That's very true. Yeah. I think this was a little gem that we found here, I think.
For sure. And, you know, it's like I get a list of films. Like, you know, we talk about it usually. And I'm surprised because you were like, The Outrun. And I was like, oh, out of, I can't remember what the list was. But I was like, oh, I'm so, Luke's gone with The Outrun. Cool. Well, yeah, great choice. All right, buddy. Well, I'll catch you on the next one.
All right.
Thank you so much. And as always, a special thanks to Phoenix Cinema. Our music is by Stefan Krieger, and our episodes are edited by Noah Anderson. If you like this podcast, please share, like, rate, and subscribe on your way to watching a movie at the Phoenix Cinema. I'll see you there.